Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
FM Talk. Podcast.
Now, so I mentioned I've been communicating with my son who is down in Houston, and he I started the show off explaining that he thinks he cheated on the ultrasound this morning and saw the sex of the baby. Yeah. So I'm going to be a grandfather. That was revealed a week ago, and he thinks he may have known that it's, he thinks it's a boy, okay? Yeah. Based on what he saw.
We're not sure that he knows what he's looking at.
No, we're not. No. And here's the other thing I was thinking about, and I think you're gonna be with me on this, that the Reardon family has such a terrible record when it comes to predicting things, for example, the 2016 election, or wagering on NFL football games. Mm-hmm. I can show you my parlays that failed 98% of the time last fall.
Yeah, okay.
As I sent my money to Las Vegas, because I can't do it legally here. We're going to talk about that with Jack Cardetti later this hour. But I'm going to just say, I'm going to go in the other direction. It's going to be a girl based on what
enough.
I see here. Because Evan gets so many things wrong. He's kind of like me, unfortunately. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just being self-aware. But we'll know for sure on Thursday. They said big baby, too.
Really?
Yeah. His mom's side of the family has, and maybe Natalie's
big
side
babies?
Of the family. Yes, I guess
wow,
so.
Wow, that's but really great. I'm so happy for
posted.
You.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year from a variety of perspectives. That's the word. It's a Monday. Sean Spicer coming up tomorrow. He was traveling the last couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to hearing his take on all the craziness that's happening across this country, and we'll get his latest take, of course, on the election, and a lot of this ties in with the election. James Varney tomorrow as well, who wrote about police shootings and why they continue to happen, and the emphasis is actually put on the wrong issues when it comes to a lot of the police shootings. I mentioned Cardetti. He's coming up. He's the spokesman for the group Winning for Missouri Education. Jack was a guy that we used to have on the roundtable all the time. I loved him. He was on Jane's side of the table, but he's not a wacky, kooky lefty. But he lives in Columbia, and he just doesn't, you know, have as much time here in St. Louis. But he's always a great guest. We have audio cut of the day coming up as well. And some of this might actually be in contention. So this goes back. Let's talk about Title IX and the executive action by this White House, which is just revolting and makes me sick to my stomach, especially as a father to a 9-year-old little girl who's a swimmer and an athlete. But this is the Education Secretary, Miguel Cardona, on Friday.
For more than 50 years, Title IX has opened doors for generations of girls and women. This landmark civil rights law promises that no person should experience sex discrimination, sex-based harassment, or sexual violence in federally funded education.
Oh, the irony when you just listen to what Miguel Cardona is saying right there, right? Everything that he said was true, except now what they're going to do is if you claim you're a woman. I had a video that I posted over the weekend of, and I don't know where it was, but it was a young girl on a university campus that had a video of a guy coming out of the ladies' restroom. He had basically a sports bra on with God knows what was, you know, he was a male. He was fully a male, but he had these little tiny shorts on, and she was asking him this question about going into that restroom, and he didn't want to answer the question. So is he just trans because he says he's a woman, and he can go in? Now the federal government is going to protect this nonsense. It's insanity. Ilya Shapiro is going to weigh in, but first, here's Riley Gaines.
This is the most asinine, really, I would say the most anti-woman, anti-reality pursuit we have seen from this administration thus far. It is something that not only abolishes women's sports as we know it, this would allow men in women's locker rooms, bathrooms, changing spaces.
I just don't understand it. Riley Gaines has been a hero in all of this. I don't get what they're trying to do, especially since this is like an 80, I would put this as an 85-15, you know, percentage type issue in this country right now. Ilya Shapiro is, of course, the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute, is with us this afternoon. It's nuts, Ilya. It's craziness, but we kind of thought that they would do something like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, this has been in the works for a long time. The reason why it's been delayed, I mean, we're already in April of the presidential election year. It was first proposed in the first few months of the Biden administration back in 2021, because they knew that this is an unpopular issue. And they thought that by punting on the sports issue, as it were, they're not mandating biological males be allowed to play on girls and women's sports teams. They're saving that for the second putative Biden term. They're thinking that by not doing anything on that, they can get away with it. And it's clearly causing a firestorm, not just the issue of bathrooms and locker rooms, but the chilling of speech. You know, you can be investigated and persecuted into a Kafkaesque inquisition for using the wrong pronouns or other violations of sex-related discrimination that's nowhere defined. The gender identity is nowhere defined either. And while you're investigated for your speech, you lose due process protections. You might not be able to see all the evidence that's been marshaled against you. You can't confront your accuser. It's a huge mess. And as I said, as concerning as it might be for the equality of women and girls in educational opportunities, which after all is the purpose of Title IX, it's arguably even worse for due process and free speech.
So how does that rule, you know, spell some of these things out? When you say it's the subversion of due process and free speech and you're not going to have a right to this, how does the rule actually written in a way that tells us that?
It lowers the threshold for finding someone liable or violating the federal civil rights law, Title IX. It says that you don't have the right to confront your accuser. There can be a single administrator, a single official who's the investigator, judge, jury, and executioner in any given case. And that could be the Title IX coordinator, the DEI dean, et cetera. It says that you don't have the right to a lawyer. I mean, all of these sort of things that we're used to in judicial or quasi-judicial things. I mean, after all, someone is being threatened with being found liable for sexual assault or under threat of being expelled from whether it's a high school or a college, and they don't have all of these benefits. It reverses the due process protections that Betsy DeVos put in when she was education secretary under the Trump administration.
It's just nuts. It's crazy. Now, what's the remedy for this, and what could potentially happen in the courts? There's going to be lawsuits, right?
Undoubtedly, on this due process question. Again, this is just a rule. This is not a new law that Congress passed. This is an interpretation of Title IX of the federal law that the Department of Education is putting in. It goes into effect August 1st, and there can and certainly will be lawsuits regarding privacy in locker rooms. There will be lawsuits about these due process issues when somebody's railroaded, about free speech concerns, when someone's investigated or disciplined for saying something that's politically incorrect, that's interpreted by one of these administrators as being violating this federal civil rights law. So it's a lawyer full employment act. The fact that in these 1,500 pages of new rules and regulations that they can't define some of the key terms, both plaintiff and defense side lawyers are going to make a killing on this.
So the thing that's confusing is, and you don't you know, I don't like to get you into the necessary politics here, but from a political perspective, it doesn't make sense. We kind of knew they were going to do it. They've been signaling this. We know that they are bending the knee to the progressives. But on the other hand, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is an 80-20, 85-15. There's overwhelming support from the American people in not doing things along these lines. So that's confusing to me. And I don't know if it's just because they feel like they're losing progressives. And if they don't do something like this, because of everything that's going on right now, that's going to keep some of their voters. But isn't it a little politically confusing to you?
Well, maybe I'm not as cynical as you are, because yeah. I think that
few are.
Sometimes political actors and bureaucrats act out of ideological motivation, not just you know, what'll help them win the election. Certainly, sometimes they act purely for political motives. But here, this is just what they are dedicated to. Catherine Lehman, who's the Assistant Secretary of Education for Civil Rights, you know, this is what she wants, and this is what they. And she doesn't have to face election after all. This is what what they want power to do. It's just like when Nancy Pelosi was ramming through Obamacare, knowing that it was unpopular, knowing that it was going to cost her speakership, her majority in the House. Nevertheless, they did it because this is, at the end of the day, what they ideologically believe is good policy.
So if when you wrote about this, you said, and you referred to this earlier, you said, look, they name-checked the Supreme Court's Bostock decision, and they kind of left the issue of biological males playing in women's sports unresolved at this point. What's the pathway then on that? What's your prediction of what they might do on that particular issue? Are they just going to kind of sit on the sidelines and let the NCAA and others decide that?
Well, where it stands now is that if a school district or a state or a university doesn't allow biological males who I identify as women to play on women's teams, there's no federal case about that. There's no new federal mandate to allow that to happen. In a second Biden term, 100%, they're gonna go with the mandate to require biological males who identify as women to play on women's teams.
All right. It's crazy. We know it's crazy. Let me ask you, though, just while I have you here, these images from Columbia University, and, you know, you've been at the forefront of some of these protests, but this is absolutely insane that this is continuing to happen in this country. I you know, we've talked about this now for 6+ months, right? And seemingly every conversation, we're like, can you believe this is going on? But this seemingly, in my mind, takes it to a new level, Ilya. And I think, how could you be a Jewish student at one of these universities, Columbia in particular?
Absolutely. I think all of this mess, this rioting, this anti-Semitic activity has been spurred by the Biden administration and Chuck Schumer giving a speech criticizing Israel and Tony Blinken sanctioning the IDF, the Secretary of State. All of these signals, even if the U.S. Supports Israel militarily, but all of these signals is going to these Hamas supporters. You know, there's no such thing as someone who supports Palestinians in these things. They're all supporting the terrorists. They want to eliminate Israel. They don't like Jews, and that's the mask has completely slipped, only figuratively, because literally they're all wearing masks at the same time. But look, this does show the weakness of our institutions. And if Columbia's president doesn't want to call in the NYPD to clear this out, as Yale's president did there, and they're pursuing disciplinary action there, for once Yale is doing something positive, but Columbia is not. And if they don't want to send in the NYPD, you know, we might want to consider having the National Guard come in to perform that law and order function. I mean, it's just a complete breakdown, and it's not safe. It's in legal terms, it's a Title VI violation of the education law that guarantees equal educational opportunity regardless of national origin, ancestry, ethnicity, etc.
I would like to take this opportunity to once again thank the leadership at Vanderbilt University, because they actually did the right thing on some of this nonsense from a few weeks ago, and they expelled some students.
That's right. This is not hard. This is not some conundrum of what can we do? What should we do? The rules are clear. The policies, the authorities. There's no dispute. You know, if you're violating the rules on, you know, occupying a space, blocking people, harassing them, this is not about free speech. You don't get a free speech defense to assaulting someone or vandalizing property or trespassing or all the rest of it that's been going on. So absolutely, it's amazing. It makes national news when the president of a university like in Vanderbilt actually did something to arrest and expel those who occupied his office.
Did you ever watch the news conference that the little whiny snowflake students had in the aftermath of being arrested, and how they were wearing masks outdoors and they complained that they were treated better by the police than they were when they busted into the chancellor's office and assaulted a police officer and broke things? That was really one of my favorite moments of this year, and I don't think enough people saw that, Ilya.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like Ilhan Omar's daughter, who is claiming that she's now homeless and can't get food because she's locked out of her dorm in the dining hall. When, of course, you know, she has a home, she can go back there and get food. She has lots of money. I mean, it's not poor little rich girl.
Oh my goodness, Ilya Shapiro, great to have you on. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
All right, take care. You too.
Yeah, can we do a GoFundMe for Ilhan Omar's daughter because she's homeless? It's embarrassing, and they think it's actually commendable.
I know.
So let me take you back, though, to the Title IX stuff just real quick here, because this was the video, Sue, that I was referring to. Hey, Abby, when you pulled that, did you notice what was there? It was Tampa, right? Isn't that what they said? Okay, so this is down, I think, at the University of Tampa, and there's a trans male. I don't even know what to say. Is it? It's a biological male, okay? It's a dude. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a dude. Sorry to misgender him. As she does, it's a dude coming out of the ladies' room, and this student starts to videotape and ask him some questions.
Excuse me, what are you doing in the women's bathroom?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing in the women's bathroom?
I'm peeing.
Okay, but you're a man.
No.
Yes, you are. You are clearly a man, and you were just in the women's bathroom. Do you know?
He's got a pair of short shorts on and kind of a sports bra or something like that in tennies, you know, looking cute as can be, going in the ladies' room.
Money I paid for this school, and now there's a man in my bathroom?
Well, you should talk to the administration.
Oh, I definitely will.
Good.
But why do you feel the need to go into women's spaces as a man? No comment on that? Do you think women don't deserve their own private spaces?
So this is interesting. Did you hear what he said there? He said you should talk to the administration. Mm-hmm. My question would be, I believe he felt that that was pointed toward the university administration, right?
Uh-huh.
But maybe, just maybe, he talked about the Biden administration. And let's think about what you just heard and what you can see on my Twitter page if you want to follow, at Mark Reardon, KFTK. That's the type of behavior that the federal government is now supporting. That's the type of behavior. I'd love for someone, I really would, maybe Ducey or someone to do this. Show that video to KJP in the press room or the president. He won't remember seeing it, but, you know, make him watch it and say, this is what you are supporting now with your changes to Title IX. Are you out of your mind? The majority, 85% of the country, doesn't agree with what you're doing, but you're still doing it. Now, here's a little bit more from Riley Gaines, and she's right about this, and Ilya sort of addressed it as well.
What he was doing was winking at normal, sane people saying, hey, we're with you, but also winking at the progressive left saying, hey, we're with you. In doing that, really, standing on the fence, we know that this is a way to alienate both sides. This really isn't a battle of red versus blue. Really, what this is sane versus insane, really moral versus evil.
Well, I would say that she nailed it there. Now, Kim Russell is someone who's been very vocal on these issues, as Riley has, and she's been kind of working with Riley. Kim Russell was the coach that was up in Wisconsin at Oberlin College, who exposed some of this stuff, and she kept her job for a while, but not unlike what happened with Yuri Berliner at NPR. Finally, they forced her out, and she's been on Fox. She's been speaking publicly at different universities on this particular issue.
And what this rewrite of Title IX is doing is stripping women's opportunities. The entire purpose of Title IX was to give women opportunities that we didn't have. What we're doing now is a trans athlete can take that opportunity away from a woman. And that means that person will be in the locker room as a fully intact male. I don't think people understand that. Girls and women in locker rooms are seeing fully intact male genitalia when they get undressed. And this is not okay. So what's happening is girls and women are being forced to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that Me Too movement now? Where is it?
Don't you feel like we are living in an alternative universe?
Yes.
There is no other issue, Sue, and I think you probably would agree with this, that makes me more angry than this one, especially because our federal government is backing this complete insanity and nonsense.
I recently spoke to a radical feminist group, and guess what? Everyone there agrees. Every lesbian who was in attendance agrees that males should not be allowed to play on women's sports teams. So anyone who is a biological male can play on a men's or boys' team or a co-ed team.
She said something there that's very interesting, and I want to circle back to it. And I made this point many times, and maybe you can say it's anecdotal, but if you have friends and family members or people you know who are gay, older lesbian and gay men in particular, if they're not in the alphabet mafia, the you know it's the plus side, it's the TQ plus, the older gay people can't stand this.
Because it's nuts.
That's right. They think it's nuts, too. Now, maybe they should be a little bit more vocal because, and I'm not trying to blame any segment of society, but I'm telling you, they can't stand it either. They're just as offended as those of us who are cis, white, straight people, right? I think cis means straight. I don't know. I lose track of the pronouns and the terms and all that stuff. We're going to talk about sports wagering coming up next, and can we ever get that in Missouri? Audio cut of the day as well.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sean Spicer joining the show tomorrow afternoon. We have an audio cut of the day before this hour is up. And we're going to speak right now with my friend Jack Cardetti, who's in Columbia. He's a spokesman for Winning for Missouri Education. They are organizing a ballot initiative for legalized sports wagering. Cardetti, you have no idea how frustrated I am that these idiots in Jeff City can't get this one done. What the hell? But I guess there's another path, right? How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Mark.
So kind of update people. I know where this is, but maybe give me a little bit of a synopsis for the audience that might be also confused on why we still can't wager legally here in Missouri, because they've been unable to move that across the finish line in the legislature, and it's simply not going to happen this year either.
Yeah, Missouri remains one of only about a dozen states where sports betting isn't allowed, which is really unfortunate because we know every single day people are driving across the bridge over into Illinois placing those bets, or in Kansas City they're heading across State Line Road placing those bets over there. And unfortunately, the Missouri economy and our classrooms aren't receiving any of the revenue from that.
So Winning for Missouri Education is the group that you're affiliated with right now. Tell me the other way to go with this, and this is controversial because they're talking about the initiative petition process, but if you get enough signatures, this potentially could be on the ballot this year for voters?
Yeah, absolutely. So the six professional sports teams in Missouri, led by the St. Louis Cardinals, really kicked off this coalition in January. We've been out collecting signatures to place the sports betting for education on the ballot. Those signatures are due on May 5th, and we've already surpassed 300,000 signatures. So we've found a ton of support out there. I mean, Missourians are ready to see sports betting here in Missouri. A lot of people don't have any clue why we don't already have it here in Missouri, but we're going to rectify that come this November.
If I were to ask Jack Carty, why don't we have this in Missouri yet? How would you truthfully, candidly, and honestly answer that question?
Well, it's like a lot of things. Not everybody can get on the same page in Jeff City, and so a lot of times Missouri voters have to take these matters into their own hand and then do a little direct democracy. So that's what's going to happen here. You have a lot of support, actually, for sports betting.
Oh, I believe
down in the legislature, but there's a small group of senators that want to tie other issues to this, and it just hasn't gotten done.
You know, it's frustrating to me, and I'll offer this as an example because I found this out last week. I had a listener, Jack, that reached out to me and said, hey, because they had known I've been to 15, 16 Kentucky Derbies, they're going down to Churchill Downs in a couple of weeks. And they actually recommend at Churchill Downs because have you ever been to one? Have you ever been to a Derby?
I have not.
Okay. Well, you know, if you go to a racetrack on a normal weekend, even Churchill Downs, you might wait in a little line to place your bets. But Derby weekend, of course, is nuts. You got 120,000 people there for Oaks Day. And then on Saturday, probably 150, 160, especially if the weather's nice. So they're even telling customers at Churchill Downs, hey, we have this great app, the Twin Spires app, that you can use in your seats at Churchill Downs. You don't have to wait in lines at all. And the listener asked me if I was familiar, and I said, oh, yeah. I said, I don't know why it is, but for about 5 or 6 years now, I've been able to place my Derby bets and my Preakness and Belmont Stakes. I usually don't bet outside of the three main races anymore just because it's not responsible. I said, I've been able to do that on Twin Spires. Well, they alerted me to the fact, and I you know, opened up my app, and sure enough, now it's geofenced, so I can't place those bets. For a while, and I don't know, maybe you know, Jack, for a while, that was not covered by, you know, the inability to cast these other wagers on the other apps. So, but now they've closed it down.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, on Super Bowl weekend alone, Mark, in the state of Missouri, 431,000 Missourians tried to place bets, but weren't able to do so because of geolocation. So, I mean, that's the type of revenue that Missouri classrooms are missing out on by not having that. There's tons of interest in this. Every other state, but about a dozen, has figured this out. It's time for Missouri to allow this. Let's fund our classrooms by doing this.
Okay.
And let's make sure we have responsible sports betting.
Right, but Cardetti, what's the math on the education thing? Because look, many of us, and I bet there's people that are in the audience right now that are old enough to remember the lottery and the claims that were made, and I know that a lot of that money goes for education, but there's going to be people that say, wait a second, that's just a sales gimmick. We don't believe that that money's going there.
Yeah, the sports betting will be taxed at 10% here in the state of Missouri. That's going to generate tens of millions. And because we're putting it in the Constitution, Mark, that'll ensure that the money has to go to education. And quite frankly, it'll be a permanent funding source moving forward for education. So this makes sense on a lot of different levels.
Any kind of specific language for a ballot proposal would come later in the process, Jack?
No, the language is
okay.
Secretary Starrett's already written the language, and so we'll turn those signatures in by May 5th. The county clerks out there will all count those signatures, and then we'll be placed on the November ballot here.
So, my mistake on that, but does that mean, essentially, if you're signing the petition, you can see the ballot language as you sign that petition because it's clearly spelled out?
Absolutely.
Is it simple language, you know, because you and I, Jack was responsible or partially responsible for the marijuana initiative, and you and I talked a lot about that. You know, I was a supporter of that. I certainly voted for it, but I didn't like the fact that it got so long in the tooth when it came to the constitutional language. Is this one like that, or is it pared down to a certain extent?
This is much simpler, much more straightforward, not a ton of pages here. So it really is straightforward. I mean, and the nice thing is when you're the 38th state that does something, you're kind of able to see what's worked in other states and what hasn't. So I think we've put together, with the leadership of the professional sports teams here in Missouri, we've put together a good initiative. This really just straightforward. We're just going to do what the 38 other states do.
And when it passes in November, because if it's on the ballot, it's going to pass. I'm fully confident. I know you've seen the polling on this. When would it take effect?
Oh, yeah, it would take effect 30 days later, but then they have to start a year after it's voted on. They have to, by then, start accepting bets. So we'd hope to see that a little earlier than that, but there is a date when they would have to do this by. And to your point earlier, the two most recent public polls that have come out have shown this at 62% and at 60%. And most importantly, it enjoys majority support amongst Republicans, Democrats, and independents. So not a political issue here.
No, I think you're right about that. All right, Cardetti, good to hook up with you. I hope that this all goes through smoothly and you get these things certified and we're able to vote on it, because the lawmakers are worthless on this issue. And you can send them my love and tell them I said that.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you about this between now and November.
All right, Jack, thank you. Take care. You know, for me, it is a personal thing, but there's no doubt that it's going to pass when it, you know, people were questioning. I don't really get it, because I've been in Missouri on and off since 1979, and we're just really slow on the uptick on a lot of these issues, and on the marijuana initiative in particular. And that was controversial because the same thing happened. The lawmakers could have taken care of that. They knew where the public was. They could have passed that. They could have done it in a less convoluted way. They didn't have to amend the Constitution. Same thing could happen here. I don't like this whole process of every time we want something, we have to amend the Constitution. But the reason that we have it is because Cardetti said something there that's true. And I've said this on the air. You talk to these people, even some of those who are casting votes against this in the legislature, who aren't willing to move it forward. They're for it. They just don't want to. They think that they have to play those games with constituents, and they want to make sure that someone can't primary them by saying, oh, he's not conservative enough because he supports wagering and sports wagering. It's just a bunch of nonsense. You know what they think their job is? They think their job is to go up there and pass initiative petition reform, when still 3 months, 4 months into the session, there's like five people in the host state that are regular people.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time? Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have something selected for audio cut of the day, but let me toss in a little bit more audio here. And there's a story that I haven't really addressed yet. This goes to a school district. It's the Pembroke School District in Pennsylvania. I think it might be. It says North Wales, Pennsylvania. I don't know where that is.
I don't either.
You had a male who identifies. Now, this is one of those things where, you know, they're covering it in the news and they're not really saying what happened. But you know how these Stanley Cups are so popular.
Oh, yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
With the toppers and everything, I had to catch up on that. Well, they're pretty solid, right?
Yeah,
so you
are.
Had a transgender male, so a male, a biological male who was now female. This gets so confusing, right? Assaulted a female student at this school. And, you know, it just gets left out of, the boy identifies as a girl named Melanie. The boy had been permitted to use the female restrooms. The boy had recently been transferred into the school where the assault took place. But nobody wants to talk about the fact that it's a trans kid, you know, because this is like, oh, we got to respect. This is what Biden is doing. We have to respect the rights of everyone here, especially when they violently beat another student.
At the end of the day, whether this child who was the attacker has issues or not, a lot of it comes from your policy, your leadership, and what you do or do not accept.
So let me kind of harken back to a month ago. And I never really gave a full update on this from Kirkwood and Robinson Elementary, because there were lawyers that got involved. And the parents that were communicating with me about some nonsense that was happening with a DSEG kid that was, you know, young kid who was 10 years old assaulting girls. It's not the trans issue, but I bring it up because this was a situation where the administrators in Kirkwood have been warned repeatedly about this kid's behavior.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, since that happened, I don't know if you know this, and I can't tell you that it was related, but I can't tell you that it was unrelated. The principal of that school is out, and the superintendent of Kirkwood's out, too.
Oh, that's interesting.
But the reason I bring it up is because in this particular case, too, the administrators have been warned about this guy's, you know, this young lady's violent tendencies because he's a boy.
I remember at one point you were very focused on everyone has to wear a mask, but you let all these major things go. You let sexual assaults go. You let violence go. And another thing, this was a teenage boy who beat on a little girl. All right? Call it what it is. I don't care.
Thank you.
Don't look at me like that, Mr. Fusco. You're a father. What if that was your daughter?
Thank you.
What if that was your daughter? And I'm sorry. I didn't want to be here. I'm here because people reach out to me. I'm here because apparently too many people are afraid to just say that. Men and women are different, all right? Whatever you want to do as an adult, God bless you. That's fine. You have that right. But let kids be kids. Let them make that decision later in life when it's appropriate. All right.
I'll tell you that if something even remotely close to this happens with my daughter, I'll probably end up in jail, Sue, because you will not be able to hold me back. This is infuriating. And that this administration and this president, the feeble old man Joe Biden, is part of this that's happening. They don't stand, and the media is complicit too, because let me tell you something. This kid was expelled from his last school. They don't like to put in the little fact because, you know, he claims he's a woman. He claims he's a girl. It doesn't matter. Just like the guy that walked into the restroom, right? You just have to say you're a woman and everything is cool. Doesn't matter. We don't want to discriminate against you because of that. So let me go to Detroit. Well, this is, I'm sorry, Michigan. I don't know if it's in necessarily the Detroit area. DeWitt Elementary School. This is an elementary school. I talked about this last week, and here's the news story on this. They actually covered it, TV station.
DeWitt Public Schools is introducing a new lesson plan, exploring pronouns through discussion and literature. This lesson plan for elementary school kids is sparking debate across the community.
It should spark debate because we're talking about kindergartners and pronouns.
5 years old to 7 years old, to me, that's it blew me away. They don't need to learn, you know, about anything that's personal or sexualized or, you know, gender specific. At 5 years old, those are my babies, and that's my right and my husband's right.
Brandi Strand is concerned for her kids who attend DeWitt Elementary Schools and says elementary school is just too young for a discussion on pronouns.
They don't know who they are yet. They're still growing. They don't know anything other than love.
It's the opposite end of the spectrum of where Fran was from the MS Society. Fran was 92 years old. She was confused. She's fired because she didn't use someone's pronouns. Now, they finally apologized to her. But the same thing, Sue, you made this point last week. These kids don't know what pronouns are. They don't know what that means. And you're trying to teach them so they don't offend a kid in kindergarten or first grade?
Yep.
No. I'm not going to be a part of any of that nonsense, and it's just completely getting out of hand. And, you know, this is what's so frustrating, because I said this last week. There is no choice other than Donald J. Trump to fix some of this. When you're making executive decisions in the White House, proclamations about this stuff, just tossing away 50 years of success with Title IX, giving women opportunities, and now just stripping it away, it's disgusting.
It is.
It needs to stop. And this is why the culture wars are so important, because this is just a bunch of crap. And there's an overwhelming amount of support on my side, on Sue's side. All of you listening are in agreement. Even those of you who voted for Joe Biden, even those of you who are gay, you're in agreement. It's only the fans of Michelle Lee at KSDK who apparently don't see the light on this, because let me offer this as an example of the little pronoun user there at Channel 5. What if she was assigned to do a story about violence that happened in a school with a trans kid, as she proudly proclaimed to me on Twitter that she's an ally of the Alphabet Mafia? Really, if you're an ally of the Alphabet Mafia, how can you do a fair job in reporting? That is a rhetorical question.
Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I started with this one, but I'm going to close with it just because, and let me throw both in here, because we featured this with John Lamping earlier, and I never played this, I don't think, as audio cut of the day. Bill Maher talking about abortion. This was a week ago.
Not if you believe it's murder. Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, they pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry. We won't miss you. That's my position on that. What?
People don't get what he's doing here, okay? Just hang in there. Bill's making a point.
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
Is
sure
that you're not your
much.
Position if you're pro-choice?
Isn't that mainly because you don't like children? I mean,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. I mean, but if you are, you said you're pro-choice. That's your position, too.
Yeah, that is your position. Piers didn't really get it there. Piers Morgan on the show. And then there's this from this past weekend where Bill makes a pretty good point about some of the other things that are going out there, like even with Disney.
Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio. It was Neverland Ranch with Kraft Services. It is just scene after scene, clip after clip of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation. It must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But
yeah, he goes on from there, Bill Maher, and really made a great point about that. Boy, every once in a while, actually, it happens quite a bit. I just wonder if any people on the left, because that's his audience, are listening. Have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow at 3. Sean Spicer on the show on Tuesday.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.